So this guy dies and goes to heaven. St. Peter meets him at the gates. St. Peter said, before you come into heaven, I have to ask you an important question. Did you ever do anything courageous while you were on earth? The guy said, as a matter of fact, I did. I was driving through the Badlands in South Dakota, and I saw this motorcycle gang picking on a young woman. I got out of my car. I went up to the gang leader. I kicked his motorcycle over. I ripped out his nose ring. And I said to the rest of them, the same thing will happen to you if you don't leave her alone. And St. Peter said, wow, when did that happen? He said, 2 minutes ago. I'm going to start right away with the definition of courage. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. The theme, as you know, is fight the good fight. Paul talks about that twice. He uses that phrase in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and chapter 6. Fight the good fight for your faith, for your moral conduct. It is wonderful to have a gathering of Catholic men. It gives me a chance to emphasize masculine spirituality. The components of a masculine spirituality is courage, self-sacrifice, action and commitment. And it's important to emphasize masculine spirituality because sometimes the Catholic Church can come across effeminate. In 1999, there was a movie out called Fight Club. It starred Brad Pitt, Edward Norton. An office employee and a soap salesman start a global organization to allow men to vent their anger. And it was just fighting. Recently, I saw on NCIS, if you've ever seen that show, that was a subplot. Fight Club. Senseless, violent fighting. Well, today we're talking about fight the good fight. Fight the kind of fight that God wants you to fight. And I want to talk about three areas where men need courage in their life. The first one is in our own personal lives. Tomorrow is the fifth Sunday of Lent. Do you remember the first Sunday of Lent? It's always the same. It's the temptations of Christ. Now that word temptation comes from a Greek word that means test also. So it's more of an emphasis of testing Christ. Because right after he was baptized, he went out by himself, and that's important for you to remember that. By himself he went out into the desert and he was tested three times. I'm sure you remember the three tests. Turn, you're hungry after 40 days. Turn the bread. Turn the rocks into bread. You know, hocus pocus. Play God. Secondly, throw yourself down. Throw yourself down. See if the angels will catch you. I'm sure they will. And the third one, I'll give you all these worlds. Come on a high place. I'll give you all the worlds if you bow down and worship me. Now you need to know two things about that. How could Matthew and Luke, how could they write about that? Nobody was there with Jesus. He came back and told them. He told them about the struggle. Because you know what? Those three tests were inside of him. There's no mountain in this world where you can see all the kingdoms of the world. This was an internal battle. And Jesus came back and told them about the internal battle. And it says that the devil left them for a while. And if you saw the movie The Passion of Christ, you saw the next time the devil came back, because the movie Passion of Christ opens up with Jesus struggling, and the devil, the voice inside the head, is saying, nobody, God can't expect anybody to go through this. This is too much to ask. We have an internal struggle, don't we? We all do. Those of you who know me, know my name is Father Scott. Well, I got to tell you about that name, because that's not my baptismal name. I'm a Capuchin Franciscan, okay? I joined my community in 1963 while Vatican II was going on. Back then you took a new name, like a confirmation. The only trouble was you were not allowed to take a name of anybody else in the community. And when I joined, there were 300 men. All the easy names are gone. And with a last name like Seetaller, I wanted an easy name. So the novice director asked me, what name did I want in community life? And I said, Scott. And he said, who's Saint Scott? You had to have a saint's name. Well, I said, it's the last name of a saint, Saint William Scott. And he said to me, I don't like Scott. He said, I got the ideal name for you. I said, what's that for? He said, Saul. I thought, Saul Seetaller, I should have a men's clothing store on Fifth Avenue. I said, Father, I don't like Saul. Boy, said, I don't like Scott. Well, you know my three vows, poverty, chastity, and obedience. No money, no honey, and I got a boss. You know? I'm having my first crisis in obedience. I didn't even join yet. So I'm about ready to say, okay, Father, I'll take Saul. He beat me to it. He said, you can have Scott. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, a couple years later, after Vatican II, we could go back to our baptismal name. Well, my baptismal name is so common, I get Scott, because everybody can just call me Father Scott. But if I went back to my baptismal name, I would have gone back to a name that describes me perfectly. It's Thomas. And if you know what Thomas means? It means twin. And guess what I found out in my life? I got a spiritual twin. Let me show you what I mean. There's a Scott, a man of deep faith, but I'm a dying Thomas at times. There's a Scott who wants to be a saint.
There's a Thomas who likes to take a walk on the wild side, you know?
And you know what I got to do? And that's why I take Lent seriously, and that's why I take my prayer. I got to become single-hearted. Because if you don't have a single heart, you have a double vision, a double loyalty, and a double-mindedness. And the Beatitudes say, blessed are the single heart, for they shall see God. Well, I'm not the only man in this room who has a spiritual twin. You do too, huh? Do you pray in the morning and look at pornography at night? At work, you're just a ball of fun when you walk into the hot store mornings up for all small craft. We all have a twin. Sometimes I think I got triplets. And you have to fight the fight, man. You have to fight the fight. Because of those voices inside of our head. The voices that invite us to lose up, play God. Carl Jung was a famous psychiatrist. You know what he said? And I absolutely believe this after 41 years of spiritual direction and counseling. He said, all addictions are primarily spiritual problems. Ever hear that before? And what is it? We play God. Whatever the addiction is, we play God. And those voices go on all the time. You can do that. You can get away with that. It's been months since you had a drink. You can take a drink now. You can stop at one. You can smoke this and stop at one. All those voices. Put to the test, and you need courage. You need courage to do that. It's very, very important. Because we struggle with our twin all the time. You work your program. What did the other two speakers say to you? Go to confession. too busy to pray, you're too busy. But that's the guy thing, see? Women get their self-esteem from relationships. Guys get their self-esteem from accomplishing things. As much as we might complain about working, we like to work. Men need to be active. It's very hard. Men can't be at a meeting, a parish council meeting, some type of, and a discussion goes on. Women can talk forever. We'll get back to this next week. Right? We need a game plan. We need a mission. We need to be active. We need to make a commitment. And we need to sacrifice ourselves. Masculine spirituality. We've had the women's liberation movement. Now we need the men's liberation movement. And by that I mean, fight the good fight, but by the power of God. All things are possible. God, we need courage to deal with your twin. We are twin. It's because of original sin. Here's the second area I want to ask you. Have courage. Did you see the movie Saving Private Ryan? Spielberg said, I'm not making a movie like a John Wayne movie where everybody's happy. The first 20 minutes of that movie traumatized me. Watching these young guys, anywhere from 18 into their early 20s, landing. 11,000 American soldiers died on the beach on D-Day. 11,000. The barges are unloading. They're almost wetting themselves. They're crying. Holding on to their rosaries. It takes courage, doesn't it? To crawl across the battlefield with your arm blown off. Years ago, Valentine's Day was on a Saturday. I had a wedding. Not in the parish, I don't have many weddings, but I was asked to have this wedding. And the groom was a Marine in Iraq and he had a leg blown off. Spent a year at Walter Reed, had a prosthesis. Here's what the groom said to me. He took me aside for the wedding and said, Father Scott, this is our wedding. Please don't talk about me. Don't make me a hero, Father Scott. I did what I did. Let me tell you what he did. He went through his first stint in Iraq. Nothing went wrong. He came home, got a job. Just at the time when there wasn't many jobs here in Pittsburgh, he re-upped. His family said, you're crazy to re-up. He re-upped, and it was the second time he was in Iraq that he had his leg blown off. And he's saying to me right before his wedding, please, Father Scott, don't put the emphasis on me. He was a giant in my eyes. Listen, is it cancer? Alzheimer's? Out of work? You gotta be giant. You don't have to be a giant in your boss's eyes. You don't have to be a giant in your priest's eyes. You don't have to be a giant in your neighbor's eyes. You gotta be a giant in your kids' eyes, your grandkids' eyes. If you're a giant in their eyes, you're a giant. Christianity's been taught. It's caught. It's God. It's all about inspiration. You know what you're doing here today? You're writing your eulogies. Yeah. If you would die tonight, whoever would give the eulogy, you know where he was on the day he died? He went to a men's Catholic gathering. He spent the day, he voted with his feet. See that? If you're a Christian, you better look good on wood. And you know that, and we're able to do that. You know, if somebody saw the theme of today, fight the good fight, and they didn't know the scripture reference from 1 Timothy, they might be offended by that. Women might be offended by that. We're all the time asking you to control your testosterone. But we are warriors. We
pioneers. We have, what are they called in the Catholic Church?
Knights!
Knights of Columbus. It's in our DNA to protect our wives and our kids and our country. And in the times in which we live, we're going to be called on to do that. And that's okay. Because we're men. We're men. And God wants us. You know, in the last 10 years, 10 million boys have been born in the United States who don't know who their dad is. Father is not a title. Father is an activity. You know how many granddads, maybe right here today, granddads are raising their grandkids at a time in their life when they thought, you know, they could sit around in their pajamas all day if they want. Now, they're at T-ball. They're at hockey. Hockey. 6 o'clock in the morning. Some of you lost perhaps a large percentage of retirement with the downturn in the economy. Some of you may have lost your job. Well, we suck it up. That's what we do. I have to tell you, I was up in Greenville. Greenville was up between Pittsburgh and Erie. Speaking in a church, St. Michael's, after the last mass, the pastor and I went over and his answering machine is blinking. Takes off the message. The head football coach at Teal College, the message went like this. I heard that preacher. Have him call me. I dial the number. Is this the coach? Yeah, you the preacher? I said, I am. I heard you this morning. You have me pumped. You have me psyched. You got to talk to my football team. Well, I said, Coach, I don't talk to college football team. Please, Father, we're having a horrible year. Yesterday we lost by 30 points. The morale's down, they won't look me in the eye, they're thinking to quit. Please talk to my football team. I said, when? Tomorrow. I said, well, I preach in the morning, I preach at night. How about right after practice in the afternoon? I said, where? He said, on the field. I don't know where the field is. He said, I'll send somebody for you. Okay. Well, picture this. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, first week of November, exceptionally hot for November. I walk on the field. Coach, little guy with a cigar walks up and goes, Father, thanks for coming. You're welcome. Do they know I'm coming? No, you're a surprise.
Well, I bet I am.
Blows the whistle and says, all right, everybody, go over here and sit on that hill over there. Sweating, full dress scrimmage. They're sitting here, the sun is going down in their eyes, and they see this walking across the field. You want to talk about the Sermon on the Mount. So Coach goes like this, listen up. I was at church yesterday, you ought to go. I heard this preacher, he had me pumped, he had me psyched, fuck Scott. Hi. Hear you're having a bad year, sorry. You know how in Matthew 10 Jesus says, when you go before rulers and kings, judges, I'll give you the word. Words start to come. I said, men, why are you playing college football? Go to the professionals. Less than 1 out of 1,000 make it. Why are you playing college football? Isn't it to use your gifts to the fullest, learn self-discipline, have teamwork? Don't you, most of your friends are the ones that you stay and touch the rest of your life are usually from college and not high school? Then why are you playing college football? Then I ask them the critical question here. Men, do you know the difference between being a winner and a whiner? The difference is how you pronounce the I. Here's how you pronounce the I in whiner. I am not only on a winning team. I don't have scouts check me out. I am not getting headlines. Now here's how you pronounce the I in winner. In. You in it for the rest of the year to use your gifts for God, to learn self-discipline, to make incredible friends. Now don't make the other team the enemy.
Use your gifts to the fullest. Compete against yourself. And if you've done your best, win or lose, you can hold your head up. Now, here's your choices. You're either going to be winners or whiners. I hope you can turn the year around. Good luck. The coach went like this. All right, listen. Go in, get something to eat, shower, get something to eat. We'll meet later in the night. So I'm talking to coaches, and I said, Coach, I hope this was helpful. No, it was helpful. They had to walk behind me to go into the locker room. Not all of them did it, but many of them went like this. They were, thank you, sir. Good work.
Well, easy. The other body's getting old now.
Thank you, sir.
Good to go.
And then one guy, he hung around. He was tall. I think he was a tight end. He said, sir, can I talk to you?
Sure.
Walk out in the middle of the field. Sir, would you pray for me? For me and my woman, our families don't want us together. Would you pray? So there he is, and praying. There it is. Winners are whiners now. We don't like to whine. Because that's our masculine spirituality. I'm not asking you to join Brad Pitt's fight club. I'm asking you to join St. Paul's fight club. We need a mission. We need a goal. We need to believe we can make a difference in our lives. And we need courage. Courage. Please, men, mentor your sons, mentor your grandsons. Mentor the little leagues, the T-ball. Christianity is not taught, it's caught. His father's talking to his 11-year-old boy on Ash Wednesday. He says, you know what? Your mother and I, we think you should give up candy for Lent. Next day, the boy says to his dad, what did you give up? He said, well, we gave up liquor. He said, well, then how come I saw you and Mom with a glass in your hand right before supper? Oh, he said, that was sherry. We gave up hard liquor. And the son said, well, then I'll give up hard candy. The famous spiritual leader of India, Mahatma Gandhi, had a lady walk up to him one day and said, tell my son to quit eating sugar. And he said, bring your son back next week. So the lady brings the son back next week, and Gandhi says to the son, quit eating sugar. And the mother said, why couldn't have you said that last week? He says, because last week I was eating sugar. Can you be courageous enough to turn your life around? Conversion, turn and walk with God. It's Lent. Here's how you spell Lent. L-E-N-T. Each letter stands for something. L-E-N-T stands for let's eliminate negative thinking. Lent's not a time of doom and gloom. It's a time to get ready. God doesn't break into our life from the outside. God breaks out of our life from the inside. The only Jesus people are going to meet in the flesh in 2011 may be you. The only Bible they may ever read in their life may be you. That's what this thing is all about. You got to fight the good fight. You got to do that. With all those voices in your head. John 8:44, the devil's a liar. He's a father of lies. He's a murderer. You gotta deal with your demons. Because of original sin, we all struggle with our demons. And then you have to be willing, courageous enough to live your life in such a way that even the funeral director will be sad when you die. One more area I want to talk about. Okay? There are times when we're asked, as Jesus says in John 15, to lay down your life for your friends. Talk about that a little bit with the Savior Christ. I say to the guy, the fiance, would you lay down your life for her? I come on to share a story with you, a true story. As I share it with you, you understand why the man wanted to remain anonymous. I was walking down a dimly lit street late one evening when I heard muffled screams coming from behind a clump of bushes. Alarmed, I slowed down to listen and panicked when I realized that what I was hearing were the unmistakable sounds of a struggle. Heavy grunting, frantic scuffling, the tearing of fabric. Only yards from where I stood, a woman was being attacked. Should I get involved? I was frightened for my own safety and cursed myself for having suddenly decided to take a new route home that night. What if I became another statistic? Shouldn't I just run to the nearest phone and call the police? Although it seemed like an eternity, the deliberations in my head had taken only seconds. But already the girl's cries were growing weaker. I knew I had to act fast. How could I walk away from this? No, I finally resolved I could not turn my back on the fate of this unknown woman, even if it meant risking my own life. I must tell you, I'm not a brave man. I'm not athletic. I don't know where I found the moral courage and physical strength. But once I had finally resolved to help the girl, I became strangely transformed. I ran behind the bushes and pulled the assailant off the woman. Grappling, we fell to the ground, where we wrestled for a few minutes until the attacker jumped up and escaped. Panting hard, I scrambled upright and approached the girl, who was crouched behind a tree, sobbing. In the darkness, I could barely see her outline, but I could certainly sense her trembling shock. Not wanting to frighten her further, I at first spoke to her from a distance. It's okay, I said soothingly. The man ran away. You're safe now. There was a long pause, and then I heard her words uttered in wonder and amazement. Dad, is that you? And then from behind the tree stepped my youngest daughter, Catherine. It's all about courage, fighting the good fight. And we train ourselves to be able to do that. You're writing your eulogy, right? What do you want them to say? What do you want them to say about you? What do you want your sons, your grandsons to say about you? What do you want the priest to say about you? This is the time. These are days where we need courage. We need to stand up and say that we're men of faith. We're fighting a good fight. Our mission is clear. These two brothers, Pat and Mike, they both need a job. They go to this company and ask if there's a job opening. The owner of the company says, I only have one job. And I don't want to play favorites, so here's what we're going to do. Each of you are going to take a test that involves 10 questions. Whoever gets the most questions right gets the job. They take the test, and next week they go back to see how they did. The owner of the company said, well, you both got 9 out of the 10 questions right, but you both missed one question. I'm going to give the job to Mike. Pat said, wait a minute. I answered as many questions as Mike did? How come you're giving the job to him? The owner company said, well, on the question you both got wrong, Mike wrote, I don't know the answer, and you wrote, and I don't either. Well, I don't know why you're here today. Because you've been to some of the past one, it was a powerful experience. I don't know if you're here today because your dad dragged you here. I don't know here because your friend said, you owe me. I don't know why you're here today, but you better know why now. You've got to know the answer to that question. Why are you here? so you can leave here and fight the good fight. So you can leave here and inspire the people working at home. So you can leave here and believe. That's not the end of the story. Paul says that that's the end of the story. We're the most pitiable people. Oh, no, 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 no. Easter's coming. Easter is coming. I think you know that our young people aren't going to church anymore. The age group of 25 and under, only 18% of our young people go to church on Sunday. And there's lots of reasons for that. Perhaps turned off by the scandals in the church. Some because the ritual was very, very boring. Some will tell you that they don't find the preaching doesn't feed them. Some will tell you they just can't find the time. You know what's important? They need, especially our young men, need inspiration. They need a goal. They need to be told that they can make a difference. They need an action plan. They need somebody who can invigorate them. And that has to be you. That has to be you. This is the age of the laity. I don't think that's a fluke. I think this age is when the Holy Spirit said, get them involved in their baptismal commitment. Second anointing during the baptism. As Christ was anointed priest, prophet, and king, so you share in the universal priesthood of Christ. You are meant to be a prophet. You are meant to share the kingship. Gotta go. Easter's coming. Finish this for me. Christ has died. Christ has risen.
Christ will come again.
We won. We won. You know, more women attempt suicide than men, but more men actually commit suicide. Sometimes men go into this deep, deep funk. They quit working and their whole self-esteem is caught up with their job. They feel like they've been put on the back burner, on the shelf. No, 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 no. The kingdom needs you. The kingdom needs you. Easter's coming. We believe in miracles. This little poor boy, everything has his hand-me-downs. His clothes are hand-me-downs. His toys are hand-me-downs. His favorite toy is this little wooden wagon he drags behind him wherever he goes. The only trouble is by the time he got the wagon, was so shaky the back wheels would fall. But whenever the back wheels would fall off, he would say something in frustration. He once heard his dad say, whenever the back wheels would fall off, Johnny would go, I'll be damned. One day he's going by the church, pulling the wagon, the back wheels fall off, Johnny goes, I'll be damned. Pastor's outside. Pastor said, who is that? He said, it's Johnny, Father. Pastor, Johnny, when something goes wrong, don't say bad words. Don't you believe in miracles? Listen, the next time something goes wrong, instead of saying bad words, get ready for a miracle. Go like this. Thank you, Jesus. Johnny looks at the pastor like, yeah. Puts the back wheels on. Goes about 10 more feet. The back wheels fall. Johnny goes, thank you, Jesus. Just then, the back wheel stand up straight, attach himself to the wagon, he hears the pastor go, well, I'll be damned! Easter's coming! We know the end of the story. We won! We won. We won. All I'm asking you, all St. Paul is asking you, all Jesus is asking you, is have the courage to stand in the breach. You know, when the priest says this blessing, may the Lord bless you and keep you, you know keep is a technical term. Ever seen four? All four sides? And in the middle, that's called the keep. when it was being attacked. They'd bring the women, the children, the farmers, and put them in the keep. And the soldiers would protect them. If the keep gets breached, it's over. We're protectors of the keep. We have to stand in the breach. It's men. It's been attacked, men. It's been attacked with pornography. It's been attacked by addictions. Greed. Greed is terrible in our country. It's been breached, men. We're looking for a few good men, not for the Marines, but for our fight. To stand in the breach, to be men of faith, and say, come what may, I know my God is with me. Because my God stands by me. All my trust is in His promise. Courage. I don't think I'm overstating the case when I tell you perhaps now, more than since the Second World War, are we asked to be men of courage, to be truly knights of arms, to be truly men who lay down their lives. And if you do that, you'll get to go to heaven. Billy Graham, when he was first starting out, wasn't known at all. Just a young preacher down south. Small town down south. Staying in a hotel, he went to mail a letter. Comes out, doesn't know where the post office is. Just then a little boy goes walking by. Says the little boy, can you tell me where the post office is? The boy says, come on, I'll show you. While they're walking along, Billy Graham says to the little boy, no son, if you come to the Baptist church tonight, I'll tell you how to get to heaven. The boy says, no, I don't think so. You don't even know how to get to the post office. Hey guys, I just told you how to get to heaven. Thank you very much.